Depending on who that is, you might get away with that. And how would you feel if someone you'd never met used your name as a job reference without knowing you first? And how would you feel if someone began using the financial or intellectual credit belonging to your name without knowing you first? We are rightly sensitive about how our names are used because name carries reputation. Our name is not just what other people call us. It is that, but it's more than that. It's how they view us. And we are sensitive about how others use our names because we are made in God's image, and He cares about how we use His name. Tonight, our meditation will be on Deuteronomy 5, verse 11. Deuteronomy 5, verse 11. This morning, we were exhorted that whatever we do, we should do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that is a reference to the third commandment now applied to the name of Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 5:11, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." In context, the first commandment, no other gods, tells us God is singular. The second commandment, no images, tells us that God is spirit. And the third tells us God is serious. The fourth, the Sabbath, tells us God is satisfied with himself and in himself and wants us to be satisfied in him. And the fifth, honor authority, tells us God is sovereign and he is sovereign over every other authority that is over us. Whatever else it means to not take God's name in vain, it implies that God intends us to take him seriously. You don't just call him anything. You don't drag his name through the mud, and you don't treat him flippantly or casually. In fact, if the honoring of your parents is the first commandment with a promise, then taking God's name in vain is the first commandment with a punishment. The Lord will not hold him guiltless. But tonight we'll explore this little command in three short questions, and we'll answer each question in terms of God's name. First, what is God's name? What is it? Well, God calls himself by many different names, and he does so to stress different aspects of his being, character, or reputation. And his name, in the most general sense, is his reputation. It's how he is viewed and how he wants to be viewed. For who he is and for what he does. Here, we focus on three explicitly mentioned names of God. First, it's the Lord. That's what he calls himself here twice, the Lord your God, the Lord. God is in the middle of making and regulating his covenant with Israel here in Deuteronomy 5, rearticulating the covenant that he had made with them at first in Exodus 20. And this is the name he uses to stress that he is the covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. This is his relational name, the God who is faithful to his covenant role and relationship to his people. He himself later says in Isaiah 42:8, "I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another." He associates his weightiness, his significance, his glory, his uniqueness with the fidelity commitment, with his fidelity to his covenant commitments and to his covenant people. That's his name. He will not give his glory as our covenant-making, covenant-keeping, reliable God to anybody else. He doesn't want to share that role or the credit for that role. Second, the Lord's name is holy. Not just the Lord, but holy. Mary says in Luke 1:49, holy is his name. If you're a note taker, we're still under the first point. What is God's name? Don't get faked out. His name is Lord. His name is holy. Luke 1:49, holy is his name. He's distinctive. He's separate. He's one of a kind, transcendent, different, pure. And this is the same name repeated three times by the angels in Isaiah 6. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Third, God's name is jealous. God has just called himself jealous in verse 9, and Moses has said in Exodus 34:14, the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. We might call this his religious name. He is not jealous of us or anything that we are or have. There's no reason for God to be jealous of us. He doesn't need you and me. He doesn't need anything we have. He is jealous for or over us. He is jealous for our distinctive and highest loyalty, our love and our trust. He wants you and me to rely on him exclusively in the clutch. When all the chips are down, when it looks like nothing is going to happen good, he wants you to cry out to him because he wants the glory and honor of your reliance because he wants to prove himself to us. And he wants to draw out from our lips our praise of him for coming through for us. He's jealous of that role in your life and in the life of this church, in the life of all of his people. He brooks no rival. He doesn't want help. And he is jealous as a husband is jealous for the love and loyalty and respect of his wife, or as a father is jealous that he would be the one to provide for his children and no one else. My dad is still jealous over that role. If he sees me somehow in need, he wants to be the one. And every husband knows what I'm talking about. You want your wife to come to you when she has a question, when she has a concern, when she's sad. You want her to melt into your arms and no one else's. God is jealous like that. And that is so true of him that it is his name. It is an identifying characteristic of God. He is Lord, he is holy, and he is jealous. Second, then, if this is God's name, then how do we take it in vain? How do you and I take it in vain? We're not talking about people out there. We're talking about people in here. We're talking about you, Christian, and me. How do we take God's name in vain? We do this first by dishonesty, using God's name to lie. And this relates to God's name as the covenant-making, covenant-keeping, faithful God, the Lord. God swears only by himself, and his oaths are never empty or deceptive. We are not allowed, then, to call God to witness to our lies or to lie about God's faithfulness by treating him flippantly. Nor may we take credit for what he has done for and in and among his people, even if he used us as the instruments to accomplish it. He doesn't share that glory with you or me. He will not give the glory of his covenant faithfulness to another. He will not be called as a false witness or used as a punchline or usurped as the ultimate giver. God holds us guilty. our text says, when we shade the truth to make ourselves look good, or when we joke about him, or when we impersonate him by taking credit for his work in us or others. These all use God's name dishonestly, and there's a word for that. It's forgery. Forgery. Signing God's name to a lie or to levity. Or signing your name where only God's name belongs. Christian, you may have never done it in a court of law, but you've done it in the court of public opinion. You've traded on God's name in bad faith, or been flippant about God's faithfulness, or you've signed your name to his work in someone's life, someone else's conversion or spiritual growth. You have silently or publicly taken credit for it, falsifying the letter that only God's Spirit can write on anybody else's heart. Forgery. It's taking his name in vain. We must not do that. If we want to see conversions in this church, we have to eliminate our tendency to take credit for it when it comes. We can't be saying things like, oh, he got converted, or she's growing because of my preaching, or because of what I said, or because of this or that or the other that I did. No, 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 none of that. That's asking God to share his glory, and he already has told us, I will not do that. We must not. Second, we take God's name in vain by our hypocrisy. This relates to God's name as holy. We take God's name in vain here in the sense of dragging his name through the mud of our sins, making him look unholy. Another word for this is nominal Christianity. Christianity in name only. When we do this, we sin, and he punishes, he disciplines, and other people look on, and they scorn. This is exactly what happened to Israel. This is what Israel did. Ezekiel 36, listen to this. They profaned my holy name. This is right before he articulates the new covenant. This is the reason for the new covenant. They profaned my holy name. In that, people said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they had to go out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations and which you have profaned among them. That's the whole reason we need the new covenant, which Ezekiel announces two verses later than the ones we just read. Israel took God's name, that is true, but they ignored God's word and character. They ignored everything that his name stood for. And so they profaned his name in their sin and in his punishment for their sin. They were sinful while considering themselves righteous, just the kind of self-righteousness Paul himself confronts in Romans 2, 21 to 24. And he connects it to taking God's name in vain. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Isaiah went on in Isaiah 52, 6, right after that quote, which Paul quoted there in Romans 2, and he says, therefore my people shall know my name. And how will they know? How will they know my name? A verse later, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, the gospel. That's how they're going to know his name, by us bringing them the gospel in clean vessels. And a chapter later, the suffering servant will vindicate the holiness of God's name himself by being profaned in his own person on the cross. How else do we take God's name in vain? By irreverence, by selfish, cheap, irreverent worship. This relates to God's name as jealous. Malachi 1, if I then am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. This is worship translated into the New Covenant sense with a resentful heart and a cheap mentality. It views worship as only worth it if it's convenient, or if it makes me feel a certain way, or if it doesn't demand too much, or if I feel like I'm getting a deal on it. I'll worship him as long as it's not too inconvenient or too costly. Otherwise, it's not worth the trouble. This kind of worship seeks a discount on devotion, which God takes as despising his name. And that discount is not merely monetary. It's time, it's energy, it's service, it's holiness, it's self-denial. And God says, my name is worth it. Third then, how do we take God's name sincerely? How do we take God's name sincerely? The key is, as we said and heard this morning, by trusting Christ. We hide ourselves in Jesus, who took God's name sincerely in all these ways for us. He was faithful to God's word. His very name is Emmanuel, God with us. He took God's name on himself. He was perfect in holiness, perfect in reverent worship, yet he was convicted on false charges of taking God's name in vain. You remember? He has uttered blasphemy. What further witness do we need? You have now heard the blasphemy. Matthew 26:65, false charge, taking God's name in vain, blasphemy. In John 19:7, we have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God. He's named himself after God. In their eyes, Jesus took God's name on himself in vain, but the charge itself was vain. Those who charged Jesus with violating the third commandment violated it themselves in the very person who embodied the third commandment. They nailed him to the cross. Because he was despised and rejected by men, Jesus' name was dragged through the mud. And yet, because he was despised and rejected, God raised him from the dead and gave him the name, which is above every name. So now, the new covenant in Jesus' blood and name is the vindication of God's name that he promised in Ezekiel 36. And that is why we baptize new converts in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is the Christian sincerely taking on himself the triune name of the triune God. This is what you did, Christian. You took his name upon you. Your baptism. How are you bearing it? What is your life saying about God's name? And secondly, we take God's name sincerely by living visibly for Jesus. Whatever you do, Colossians 3, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. In other words, if you can't do something in Jesus' name, you ought not do it. We become those, then, who make and keep commitments because our Lord has done so for us in Christ, the Lord, the covenant God. We grow in holiness and sincerity because our God and our Savior Jesus Christ is holy, and we put our hypocrisy to death. We worship God with his people in spirit and in truth, recognizing God's truth and holiness and majesty, and we give all thanks and credit to God for whatever happens. If we take God's name seriously, God will reward us. It is worth it. He will make it worth it. Listen to this. Revelation 3, to the one who conquers, I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. His name will be written on their foreheads, Revelation 22:4. The reward for taking God's name sincerely is an eternal identification with Christ. You want that? Is that the thing you want the most? He will be true to his covenant commitment. He will complete our holiness, and he will satisfy us with seeing and worshiping him forever. And therefore, whatever we may do or suffer or lose for Jesus' name, it will not be in vain. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are good. Your name is the Lord, the covenant-keeping God. Your name is holy. Your name is jealous. And so may we respect you in all of these ways. May we bear Jesus' name well. May we say true things about your character and your faithfulness and your love and your holiness and your transcendent sovereignty. In the way that we conduct ourselves, in our thoughts, in our speech, in our actions, in our service. May Jesus be glorified among us, we pray. Amen.